Most loving and gracious Father, we now wait upon Thee. O Lord, we wait for Thee to speak to our hearts. Gracious Lord, we pray that each one of us this evening will say with one of those, "Speak, for Thy servant heareth." Give us the hearing ear. Give us, Lord, the ready heart, the heart that is ready to receive Thy truth. Once more, Lord, give us eyes for none but Christ and Christ alone. Fill us, Lord, with the power of Thy Spirit, that we might know the help of God to preach the Word and to preach Jesus Christ. In His holy name we pray. Amen. I would like to leave with you this evening part of verse 24. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith." The good man referred to here is, of course, Barnabas. And here we have the Holy Ghost description of Barnabas. Here we have heaven's testimony of Barnabas. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Now we are first introduced to Barnabas over in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. There we learn that his name was Joseph, and he was named Barnabas by the apostles. Verse 36, Acts 4, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas." And then the Holy Ghost supplies us with the interpretation of the meaning of his name, Barnabas. It means the son of consolation. We're told also that he was a Levite. We're told that he was of the country of Cyprus. So now we're introduced to this man, Barnabas, formerly known as Joseph. And of course, whenever the apostles named him Barnabas, they named him well. It was, of course, customary in Bible times to give surnames that were expressive of an individual's character, and to rename them or give them a surname that was expressive of their character. So we see that the apostles, as they looked at this man Joseph, saw something in his character that prompted them to name him Barnabas, the son of consolation. Thus Simon was called Peter or Cephas, John 1 verse 44. James and John, the two brothers, were surnamed Boanerges. Boanerges means the sons of thunder. So that would tell us maybe something of the way they preached. They were sons of thunder. Mark chapter 3, verse 17. Now Joseph is given the name Barnabas by the apostles, the son of consolation. And how well they named him. The son of consolation. And the Holy Ghost adds this remark, that he was a good man. A good man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And I want to look at Barnabas tonight. I want to look at this good man. This son of consolation. This man that was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. though that the Lord would make us all like Barnabas, make us all sons of consolation, and fill us with the Holy Ghost and with faith. I want us first of all to consider Barnabas and note how he was an encouragement to the work of God. We all know that God's work needs to be encouraged. God's people in God's work, God's servants need to be encouraged. And without a doubt, Barnabas was a great encouragement to the work of the Lord. How did he encourage God's people? How was he an encouragement to the work of God? Let's go back to Acts chapter 4. And we notice here that he encouraged the work, or he encouraged the church, with his giving. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 again. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, the Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see that he encouraged the work of God. He was an encouragement to the work by his giving. Look a little closer. We notice something about his giving. It was spontaneous giving. It was spontaneous giving. For we read in the verses previous to those verses 36 and 37, we read, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And we then read concerning Barnabas having land, he sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He saw there was a need. And we find here Barnabas having land, he sold it, and he brought the price of the land to the apostles because he knew there were those in need. His giving was spontaneous. Oh my, it's good when we have a heart like that, that responds to the needs that are brought before us. It is good when we respond to the needs of missionaries. It's good when we respond to the needs of the work of God, where we know there's a need. It's good when we respond spontaneously. You don't have to be cajoled or forced into giving to God's work. Not only did he give spontaneously, was it spontaneous giving, but it was also sacrificial giving. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. It was sacrificial giving. Having land. I'm sure Barnabas wondered, what can I give to the work of God? Well, I have a piece of land. I can sell that piece of land and I will give it to the church. I'll give it to the work of God. It was sacrificial giving. He, of course, was no different to many others at that particular time who had lands or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. This was sacrificial, spontaneous giving. I'm reminded of the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 9. There we read in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A nice little commentary there from the Apostle Paul. For God loveth a cheerful giver. It's interesting, the word cheerful. The original word is the word that we get our English word hilarious from. And so Paul here says, God will bless those that give cheerfully, give hilariously. They just love giving. And the Lord said, Paul tells us here, the Lord will bless those. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God loves a hilarious reference there would be to one who would give with a smile on his face. Not grudgingly or of necessity, but cheerfully. Because it is the work of God. And so he encouraged the work of God with his giving. And then we notice also that he encouraged the convert with his graciousness. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, of course, deals with the conversion of the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as he was then known. And Saul, we know, had quite a reputation. He was quite an infamous character. He persecuted the church. People feared him. You remember when Ananias was sent by the Lord or told to go and speak to Saul of Tarsus, he was afraid to go. For he told the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Ananias was fearful about going, seeing Saul of Tarsus. So when Saul got saved, began to preach the word, we are told in verse 20, he straightway preached Christ. That was a good start. He preached Christ. But we find that many of the disciples were afraid of him. And we read then in verse 26 of Acts 9, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he has said to join himself to the disciples. That's a good sign. That's a good start for a young convert. Get into the right company. It was Saul's desire that he would join himself with the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They didn't believe he'd got saved. They didn't believe he was a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus. And they were all afraid of him. They really didn't want him in their company. Then you read the next verse. But Barnabas. I like those words. But Barnabas. Barnabas was the exception. Barnabas took Saul at his word. But Barnabas took him. The others didn't want to take him at first. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now you admire Barnabas. No wonder they called him the son of consolation. How do you think Paul would have felt, a new convert, if none of the disciples wanted him in their company? Thank the Lord for Barnabas. But Barnabas. Introduced him to the apostles. Started to give his testimony to the apostles. Started to tell the apostles how this man had got saved. And went on to tell them how he had preached Christ. He encouraged the convert. He encouraged the church. And he encouraged the Christians. The son of consolation was a great encourager. So we've already said in the Lord's work, we need Barnabas. We need encouragers. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. God was doing great things in Antioch. Great revival had broken out in Antioch, and they sent Barnabas from Jerusalem to Antioch. We read then in verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He encouraged them to go on with God. He was an encourager. He encouraged the saints. He encouraged Saul of Tarsus by befriending him when none of the other disciples wanted him in their company. Barnabas took him. Encouraged the young convert. Young converts need to be encouraged. Young believers need to be encouraged. Young believers need to meet a Barnabas. Then go, please, to Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. There we read in verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogues, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Encouraged the believers to go on in the grace of God. He encouraged the church with his giving. He encouraged the young convert with his graciousness. And here he's encouraging the church, and he does it in a very godly way. He's always encouraging people to go on. Why don't we need Barnabas? So many things to discourage us. So many things about that will get the believers down and discourage them and have them to say, oh, there's no point going on. My, we need Barnabas today. On over to chapter 14. He continues in this wonderful ministry, the son of consolation, consoling and encouraging and comforting the believers. Acts 14. verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He's at the same business, encouraging, exhorting them to go on. May the Lord give us the ministry of Barnabas. May not be able to preach. May not be able to stand in the open air, say a word for the Lord. May not be able to give out a gospel tract. But here's a work for us all. We can do the work of Barnabas. Be a son of consolation. Encourage the believers. Encourage the saints. Encourage the young believers. Encourage the work of God. And the Lord give us the ministry of Barnabas. Barnabas was an encouragement to the work of God. And then we notice, secondly, Barnabas and his earnestness in the work of God. Let's go back to Acts 11 and there to our reading. And we read in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Then in verse 20, "The word was preached to the Greeks, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Verse 22, "Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." We read in the very next verse, "Who, when he came." One verse tells us he was sent. The very next verse says, "Who, when he came." Here we have, regarding his service, his haste. He didn't waste any time. There was a work for him to do. He wasted no time in going in obedience to the command of those who had sent him to Antioch. When he got there, of course, he encouraged the believers. His haste, he wasted no time. We see this same earnestness in chapter 13. Chapter 13 of Acts. We read in the opening verses, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Remember we said Barnabas was the means, was instrumental in bringing Saul into the church at Antioch. There he is. He's a member of the congregation there at Antioch. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." In verse 4. "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Once again, do you notice his haste? There's a work to be done for God. And the moment he's sent, he's ready to depart. How is it when the Lord speaks to us about doing a work for Him, why we're so reluctant, and we tarry, and we lag behind, we put it off. Not so Barnabas. In his service, he wasted no time. There was a work to be done. Not only do we see his haste, but also his humility in service. Go back to Acts 11. The last two verses of Acts 11. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. In other words, an offering had been taken up, and it was to be sent to the saints of Jerusalem. And who did they call upon to carry this gift? None other than Barnabas and Saul. And here I see his humility. This was a very simple errand. He was really being a messenger boy. But Barnabas went with a willing heart. He was ready to do the little things as well as the great things. He was ready to be a messenger boy, if you like, and carry this offering to the needy saints. See, we have to be ready to do the little things, to be faithful in the little things, the small things in the Lord's work. And as we will see in a moment, it was such a man that the Holy Spirit separated for a greater work. Separated unto himself for a greater work. And he saw that Barnabas was a man who was faithful in the little things. And dear child of God, we must be faithful in the little things before God calls us to do greater things. Some people want to start at the top of the ladder. They want to skip the bottom rung and the other rungs in between. We have to start at the bottom. We have to be faithful in the little. Then you'll notice his separation. Brings us now to the 13th chapter of Acts again. And here we have his separation. Verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, note the words. As they ministered. They were busy. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now we have already noticed that Barnabas was faithful in the little things. Now Barnabas is being separated by the Holy Ghost for a greater work. For we read in verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. Now he's called to a greater work. May the Lord have us to be faithful in the small things, because it is those who are faithful in the small things that will be called to greater things. Notice where he was thence. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis. Salamis was the chief city of Cyprus. What's significant about Barnabas being in Cyprus? Let's go back to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. Remember our introduction to Barnabas? And we are told in Acts 4, verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Where did Barnabas begin his preaching ministry? He started at home. That's a good scriptural way to start out in our work and witness for the Lord, to start at home. That's what the disciples were told to start. At Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. And here's Barnabas, and he takes the gospel, and he takes it home. Not the easiest place to preach. Jerusalem, that's the difficult place. Having to bring the gospel to those who know us best. It's hard to preach at home. The Lord Jesus discovered that during his ministry. He went to Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry. And they would have killed him there and then. For a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. But he took the gospel to Cyprus. Notice something else. We're told that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and so it was as they were ministering, the Spirit of God laid hold upon them. As they were involved in the Lord's work, as they were already working. The Lord will never call a lazy man to his work. Never. He'll always call someone who's busy and who is engaged in the Lord's work. And as he was being called by the Holy Ghost, separated by the Holy Ghost to preach, what did he need to do? Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, he was going to preach. He was going to do a work for God. He needed to believe in prayer. And he did. And then we notice something else, his suffering. Chapter 13, once more. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And they came and they preached, Paul and Barnabas preached, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 43. Verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitude, when you're faithful to the Lord, you can be sure the devil will get stirred up. Barnabas and Saul were faithful to the Lord. They preached the word, preached Christ, and the Jews got stirred up. And we read in verse 50 of the same chapter, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Here we have Barnabas in his earnestness. He didn't care whether the Jews liked his message or not, whether his message was well received or not. he was going to preach Christ. And preach Christ he did. My, we need more Barnabas today. And then we notice Barnabas and his enjoyment in the work. He enjoyed the work. It is very clear that Barnabas enjoyed the Christian life. And he lived the Christian life to the full. He enjoyed serving the Lord. Let us look at some of the things which caused his heart to rejoice. He rejoiced, first of all, in seeing revival. That rejoiced his heart. Go back again to Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. Then tidings, verse 22, of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. When he saw the grace of God and what the grace of God had done at Antioch and how souls had been saved, Barnabas was glad. Filled his heart with joy upon seeing what God had done in saving souls. This tells us something more about this man. What does the world seek after today? They seek after their riches, they seek after possessions, because they believe, and they believe it with all of their heart, that in these things lies true happiness and joy. Yet what was it that filled the heart of Barnabas with joy? It was news that soul. That's what blessed his heart. That's what caused him to rejoice. That which brought a smile to his face and gladness to his heart was seeing God move in the salvation of souls. That's what makes the spiritual man rejoice. We could go through quite a number of things that ought to make the spiritual man rejoice. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The spiritual man rejoices in being in the house of God. I was glad. The spiritual man loves to sing the praises of the Lord. Someone laughed Monday evening, made a comment about my singing. I'll not tell you what they said. But I said to them, I believe those words were written just for me. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what fills the heart of the spiritual man with joy. Giving praise to God. We delight also to do the will of God. That fills us with joy. Here we have Barnabas. He just loved doing the will of God. Loved to be involved in the work of God. Loved to worship God. That's what made him glad. Oh dear child of God, may these things make us. There are those on the day of Pentecost who were glad when they received the word. They received the word with gladness. Doesn't that make us joyful as well? Doesn't that make the spiritual man rejoice? He's receiving the word. He receives it with gladness. So that is what encouraged Barnabas. Seeing revival. Something else encouraged him. Suffering reproach. That was an encouragement to him also. Acts 13 and verse 52. We have already covered a few of these verses dealing with the Jews rising up against Barnabas and Paul, expelling them out of their coats, and they shook off the dust of their feet, verse 51, against them, and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. That's what filled him with joy. Just to know that he had been honored to suffer reproach for the name of the Savior. Just as the apostles before had done. So Acts 5 verses 40 and 41. And just as the apostles after him would do so. Acts 16 verses 23 to 25. There Paul and Silas were committed to prison after being beaten mercilessly. He was just following in their footsteps. What else filled Barnabas with joy, made him rejoice? Being a sincere reporter for the Lord. When Barnabas saw what the Lord was doing amongst the Gentiles, he didn't keep it to himself. He wanted to report the news. He wanted to tell others about what the Lord was doing. And he became a simple or sincere reporter. Something else we can do. We can be a reporter for the Lord. Look at Acts 14. Acts 14. And verse 26. And sent seal to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Gave a report, was glad, was happy to tell others about what God was doing amongst the Gentiles, how he had opened the door of faith. It's the sort of heart Barnabas had. Just like to talk about the Lord and talk about the things of God and give glory to God through telling others about what the Lord was doing. Barnabas was sent to Jerusalem. And what happened on the way and what happened when he got to Jerusalem? Look at chapter 15 of Acts. Verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be sealed. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. There it is again. He just was glad to be able to tell others about what the Lord was doing. And again, verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Oh, believer, may we be like Barnabas. May it fill our hearts with joy when we hear about souls being saved. And when we hear about souls being saved, let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's spread the good news. Tell others about what God is doing and how He's saving souls. Because every soul that's saved is a brand plucked from the burning. Every soul that is saved is a soul snatched out of the clutches of the devil. And every soul that is saved is another victory over the devil himself and another soul that will never be in hell. Hallelujah. That ought to cause us to rejoice. And then we have finally Barnabas and his endurance in the work. Barnabas certainly knew what it was to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We can see this in his travels for the Lord. Look again at Acts 11. Acts 11 and verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Jerusalem to Antioch. How far was that? 50 miles? 100 miles, 150, 200, 250, from Jerusalem to Antioch is a distance of 350 miles. Does that not speak to his other earnestness? His sincerity, his steadfastness in the work of God, and something else. We're told that they sent forth Barnabas, who, when he came, he went alone. He traveled that distance alone. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. Oh, he would have gone any distance. He was a man completely surrendered to the Lord, heart and soul and life. Therefore, he would go any distance and to any length in the service of his master. He would embark on any journey, climb any mountain, cross any ocean in the service of the Lord. Oh, for a heart like His earnestness is seen in his travels. His earnestness is seen in his tasks for the Lord. We have numbered or looked at quite a number of them tonight. But I want us to consider the Holy Spirit's commentary on the work of Barnabas. Turn please to Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. And there we read Acts 13 and verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. He was faithful in the work. Barnabas was not easily put off by opposition. The Jews had been stirred up against Paul and Barnabas, but nevertheless they still preached the word. And then they told them a few home truths with with great boldness, they told the Jews, since you have put the word of God from you, we will now take the word to the Gentiles. He was faithful in the work. He was fearless in the work. And he was a finisher of the work. Barnabas believed in finishing what he started. Look at Acts 11, verse 30. Which also they did, that's regarding the offering, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now look at Acts 12 and verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Barnabas had been sent on an errand. He was sent as a messenger boy, along with Saul, to take the offering to the believers at Jerusalem. And it says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. They fulfilled it. They finished the job. Look again at Acts 13. Acts 13. We have read there those words, verses 2 to 5, and how they were sent out. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. Now look at chapter 14, verse 26. Chapter 14 and verse 26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Same word again. And once again it occurs with regard to the ministry of Barnabas. He fulfilled the work. He did the work God sent him. Finished it. We cannot afford in God's work to start something and then leave it unfinished. We must follow the example of the Master, who from the cross cried, "It is finished." The word here, fulfilled, simply means to cram in. In other words, Barnabas sought not only to finish the job, but to cram in as much work as he could. He had only one life to live. He was ready to cram in as much work in that life as he possibly could. And may the Lord give us a heart like Barnabas. The Lord make us a son of consolation. And we also will be an encouragement to the work of God. And we'll leave our mark. When we're dead and gone, may we leave a mark behind us. May our towns and cities and neighborhoods know that we have been here. Because of what we have done for the Lord. The Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Dear loving Father and gracious God, we bow before Thee, and in the light of Thy word and the life and labors of this Son of Consolation, we recognize tonight how far short we come. Oh Lord, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit will apply the Word to our hearts tonight. That, Lord, we'll be stirred up in our own hearts. And gracious Lord, help us to cram in as much work as we can for the Lord. Ere our time here and our sojourn on earth is done. Gracious Father, we pray now that Thou would go with us as we make our way home. We pray, Lord, that Thou will, as it were, sit with us and be present with us and on the journey and when we arrive home, and watch over us this night. Keep Thy hand upon us, Lord, until we meet again here in the house of God. Our dear Lord, at Thy feet in glory. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.